From the WLRN Miami Herald Newsroom, I'm Tim Padgett with the Latin America Report.
Excelentísimo señor Juan Carlos Varela.
Cuban President Raúl Castro was the longest speaker at the Summit of the Americas last week in Panama. At age 83, he was also the oldest. And that matters as the U.S. and Cuba normalize relations after a half century of Cold War. It matters because President Obama says his new engagement policy isn't meant to change Cuba overnight. It's meant to help the U.S. influence democratic change once Castro's generation of hardline communists is gone. But that begs the question, what about Cuba's next generation of communists?
I think every generation has to make their own revolution.
At just age 27, Sergio Gomez is the international editor for Granma, Cuba's official communist newspaper. He's a bright, articulate, and well-traveled Marxist. When Castro leaves power in 2018, as he's promised, Gomez and his generation will play a more active role, which is why I talked with Gomez and a number of other young oficialistas, or Castro loyalists, who had a large presence at the Panama summit. I didn't expect them to stray from the party line. Gomez, for example, still bristles at the U.S.
We have been enemies. We are still enemies.
But I did listen for any hint that they might be more open to the kind of reform the U.S. eventually hopes to see in Cuba. This, after all, is a group that is better educated and more knowledgeable about the U.S. than Castro's generation ever was.
Since we are a small child, we learn about the United States. We almost know everything about the United States because it's important in our own life.
That means they know about things like multi-party elections, which are still prohibited in Cuba. In February, the communist youth newspaper Juventud Rebelde hosted an unusual online forum that allowed Cubans to suggest electoral reforms. So I asked the loyalists if they consider freer elections a possibility in post-Castro Cuba. While Gomez defended Cuba's autocratic government, he also made a telling argument. Cuba's system, he said, is a necessary defense against U.S. aggression.
The political system in Cuba is not the result of a normal situation. That's important to know. A half a century of confrontation between the United States and Cuba. We have been in a war for the half century.
Okay, but if I accept that premise, I said, doesn't the rapprochement between Washington and Havana mean Cuba can chill now and loosen up? On the one hand, Gomez did leave the door open.
Our political system is also changing with the time.
But I also heard claims that Cuba already is a democracy.
It's not recognized in any international treaty that democracy means a multi-party system.
Patricia Flechia is 26, and she wore a dark red T-shirt sporting revolutionary icon Che Guevara. Flechia is a member of the Federation of Cuban Women, a key Communist Party satellite group. To her, multi-party elections were part of the corrupt world the revolution overthrew in 1959.
We had different parties, and we didn't have education, we didn't have healthcare system.
Flechia also made it clear that the U.S. may not find Cuba's next communists all that easy to deal with on another core issue, human rights. For starters, the young communists don't even see a free speech problem in Cuba.
If you go to Cuba, you will see that we have many, many spaces to have dialogues.
Cuban dissidents can often go to jail for publicly speaking against the Castro regime, but some of them were allowed to attend the Panama summit. Even so, the Castro loyalists seem to regard them all as U.S.-sponsored traitors.
When they speak openly against the government, they do it trying to subvert the public order, and that is against the law.
Still, young communists like Jeanette Martinez do reflect one ray of human rights advancement, a new tolerance for religion. Martinez is a Presbyterian communist, and she heads the Student Christian Movement of Cuba, a group whose government endorsement once would have been unthinkable.
If I'm here today, it's because of the right of expression I have in Cuba of belief and express my faith.
And the one area of reform the loyalists did find acceptable was the moribund Cuban economy.
Our economy hasn't worked exactly as we need.
We need to develop more our economy.
That's good news for the U.S. because developing Cuba's economy today means promoting private business, which may well mean less communist control over Cuban lives.
I'm Tim Padgett in Panama.
You can read more of our Latin America coverage at WLRN.org.